Continuing our reading from the Shrisha Upanishad on page number 13. The mantra is the invocation. Om Purnamada Purnamidam Purnat Purnamudachyate Purnasya Purnamadaya Purnameva Vishishyate. Om, the complete whole. Purnam, completely, perfectly complete. Ada, that. Purnam, perfectly complete. Idam, this phenomenal world. Puranad, from the all perfect. Puranam, complete unit. Udachyate, is produced. Purnasya, of the complete whole. Purnam, completely all. Adaya, having been taken away. Purnam, the complete balance. Eva, even. Avishishyate, is remaining. Translation, the personality of Godhead is perfect and complete. And because he is completely perfect, all emanations from him, such as this phenomenal world, are perfectly equipped as complete wholes. Whatever is produced of the complete whole is also complete in itself. Because he is a complete whole, even though so many complete units emanate from him, he remains the complete balance. Purport. The complete whole, or the supreme absolute truth, is the complete personality of Godhead. Realization of impersonal Brahman, or of Paramatma, the Supersoul, is incomplete realization of the absolute complete. The supreme personality of Godhead is Satchidananda Vigraha. Realization of impersonal Brahman is realization of his Sat feature, or his aspect of eternity. And Paramatma realization is realization of his Sat and Chit features, his aspect of eternity and knowledge. But realization of the personality of Godhead is realization of all the transcendental features, Sat, Chit, and Ananda, bliss. When one realizes the Supreme Person, he realizes these aspects of the Absolute Truth in their completeness. Vigraha means form. Thus the complete whole is not formless. If he were formless, or if he were less than his creation in any other way, he could not be complete. The complete whole must contain everything both within and beyond our experience. Otherwise, he cannot be complete. The complete whole, the personality of Godhead, has immense potencies, all of which are as complete as he is. Thus, the phenomenal world is also complete in itself. The 24 elements of which this material universe is a temporary manifestation are arranged to produce everything necessary for the maintenance and subsistence of this universe. No other unit in the universe need make an extraneous effort to try to maintain the universe. The universe functions on its own time scale, which is fixed by the energy of the complete whole. When that schedule is completed, this temporary manifestation will be annihilated by the complete arrangement of the complete whole. All facilities are given to the small complete units, namely the living beings, to enable them to realize the complete whole. All forms of incompleteness are experienced due to incomplete knowledge of the complete whole. The human form of life is a complete manifestation of the consciousness of the living being and is obtained after evolving through 8,400,000 species of life in the cycle of birth and death. If in this human life of full consciousness the living entity does not realize his completeness in relation to the complete whole, he loses the chance to realize his completeness and is again put into the evolutionary cycle by the law of material nature. Because we do not know that there is a complete arrangement in nature for our maintenance, we make efforts to utilize the resources of nature to create a so-called complete life of sense enjoyment. Because the living entity cannot enjoy the life of the senses without being dovetailed with the complete whole, the misleading life of sense enjoyment is illusion. The hand of a body is a complete unit only as long as it is attached to the complete body. When the hand is severed from the body, it may appear like a hand, but it actually has none of the potencies of a hand. Similarly, living beings are part and parcel of the complete whole, and if they are severed from the complete whole, the illusory representation of completeness cannot fully satisfy them. The completeness of human life can be realized only when one engages in the service of the complete whole. All services in this world, whether social, political, communal, international, or even interplanetary, will remain incomplete until they are dovetailed with a complete whole. When everything is dovetailed with a complete whole, the attached parts and parcels also become complete in themselves. Before we begin our discussion, let's chant the Mangalacharna prayers, starting in the songbook on page number 10. Vandeham Sri Guru Sri Uta Patakamalam Sri Guru and Vaishnavam Cha Sri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunathan Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadvetam Sadvadhutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Sri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Sri Vishakanvitam Scha Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Preshtaya Bhutale Srimate Bhaktivedanta Swami Niti Namine Namaste Saraswate Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Deshatarine Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prestaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Tinamine Sri Barshaba Navi Devi Dayataya Kripabdaye Krishna Sambandha Vijnana Dayani Prabhave Namaha Madhuryo Jwala Premadya Shri Rupanuga Bhaktida Shri Gaura Karuna Shakti Vigrahaya Namostute Namaste Gauravani Sri Murtaye Dhinatarine Rupanuga Virudhapa Siddhanta Dwanta Harine Namo Gaura Kishoraya Sakshad Vairagya Murtaye Vipralamba Rasambodhe Padambujhayate Namaha Namo Bhakti Vinodaya Sakchidananda Namine Gaura Shakti Swarupaya Rupanuga Varayate Gaura Virbhava Bhomestvam Nirdesa Sajana Priyaha Vaishnava Sarva Bhoma Shri Jagannathaya Te Namaha Vanchakalpa Trubhyascha Kripa Sindhu Pyevacha Tatitanam Bhavanibhyo Vaishnavibhyo Namo Namaha Namo Mahavadanyaya Krishna Prema Pradayate Krishnaya Krishna Chaitanya Namne Gaura Twishe Namaha Ancha Tattvatmakam Krishnam Bhakta Rupa Swarupakam Bhakta Avataram Bhaktakyam Namami Bhakta Shaktikam He Krishna Karuna Sindo Dinabando Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Jayatam Surato Pangor Mama Manda Matirgati Matsarva Swapadambo Jau Radha Madana Mohano Divyad Vrindaranya Kalpa Drumadha Srimad Ritnakara Singhasanastau Srimad Radha Srila Govinda Devau Prishtali Bhi Sevya Manu Smarami Sriman Rasa Rasaram Bhi Vamshi Vatatatastitaha Karshan Venu Swaner Gopir Gopinatha Shri Estunaha Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindabanishwari Rishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vrindai Tulsi Devai Priyai Keshavasyacha Krishna Bhakti Prade Devi Satyavatyai Namo Namaha Sri Nishringha Jai Nishringha Jai Jai Narasingha Prahlada Desha Jaya Padma Mukha Padma Bringa Matsamo Nasti Papatma Naparadi Chakashchana Parihare Pilajame Himbruve Purushottama Yuvatinam Yatayuni Yunam Cha Yuvatau Yata Mano Biramate Tadvan Mano Me Ramatam Twayi Bhumau Skalita Padanam Bhumireva Valambanam Twayi Jata Paradhanam Twameva Sharanam Prabho Govinda Balabe Radhe Prarthaye Twam Aham Sada Twadiyam Iti Janatu Govindo Mam Twayasaha Radhe Vrindavanadeshe Karunamrita Vahani Kripaya Nijapadabja Dasya Mayam Pratiyatam Vande Nanda Vrajastrinam Padarenum Abhikshnashaha Yasam Hari Katogitam Punati Bhuvanatrayam Namastrestam Manamapi Shachiputram Atrasarupam Sri Rupam Tasya Gajam Aruparim Matrim Goshtavatim Radha Kundam Girivaramoho Radhika Madhavasham Prapto Yasya Pratita Kripaya Shri Gurum Tannatosmi Adadhana Stridam Dantar Idam Jache Punakpuna Srimad Rupa Padambhoja Rajoham Syam Bhave Bhave Hantayam Adjur Abala Haridhasavaryo Yad Rama Krishna Charana Sparasha Pramoda Manam Tanoti Sahago Ganayos Tayo Yat Paniyas Suyavasa Kandana Kandamulai Jaya Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhara Srivasari Gaura Bhakta Brinda Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So, we have read the Shishupanishad verses in translation, and we also read the purport to the invocation of this verse, Om Purnamadak Purnim Purnamidam Purnat Purnamudachite Purnasya Purnamadaya Purnam Eva Vishishite, that the personality of God is perfect and complete. And because he is completely perfect, all emanations from him, such as this phenomenal world, are perfectly equipped as complete wholes. Whatever is produced of the complete whole is also complete in itself. Because he is the complete whole, even though so many complete units emanate from him, he remains the complete balance. So, in the Bhagavad Gita, Lord Krishna himself says, Aham sarvasya prabhavo matak sarvam pravartite iti matva bhajante mam buddha bhava samanvita, that those who come to the understanding that everything emanates from me, they put their full love and concentration in worshiping me. And it is cause for rejoicing, actually, to come to the realization that we're never separated from Krishna at any moment. The illusion that we are is just that. It's an illusory idea, because there is never a time when we're disconnected from Krishna, because actually we're part of Krishna. Mamayvamsho jivaloke jivabhuta sanatana manakshastan indriyani prakriti stanikarshati. Krishna explains in the Bhagavad Gita that the living entity is his anga, eternally his anga. Just as the sun has unlimited molecules of light which emanate from it. Those molecules are simultaneously one with the sun, but they're also separate entities. So similarly, although Krishna is one entity, still he has separated parts, the living entities, who are known as anshas, and they're eternally separated. It's not that at some point they merge back in and become one with him, but they're eternally separated parts. This means ananda. For the living being who realizes his relationship with the soul, with the Supreme Soul, he lives in ananda, because he sees that the Lord has unlimited potencies and they're present everywhere. Actually, he realizes that he is one of the potencies of the Lord. There's the supreme potency of the Lord, known as the internal potency, which has its divisions also, and then there, which are mentioned here, Satchidananda, and then there's the external energy of the Lord, known as material energy, and then there's the marginal energy, the tatastha. Tatastha means marginal, sometimes compared to the shoreline, like on a beach or a river. Sometimes it's wet, sometimes it's dry. Really, tatastha means neither here nor there, the living soul. Because he's tiny, although he's part of the supreme soul, and he's para, he's supreme energy, apareyami tostanyam prakritim vidimi param jiva bhuta mahaboho ya yedam darite jagat. He's superior to material energy, but he becomes captivated by it because that also emanates from the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Wherever the tiny soul concentrates his energy, he'll be influenced. Jayato vishayan pumsam sangas teshu bajayate. In the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna explains this process. Jayato means meditation. Wherever we place our energy, the soul becomes captivated. So jayato vishayan pumsam, if he puts his concentration towards the objects of the senses, he becomes captivated by the idea of enjoying them, and then gradually there's a downward cycle where he becomes captivated by that. There's a common everyday example. One might ask, how can the superior energy of the soul become captivated by the material energy, which is actually inferior? And the television is a good example, because it's made of wood and wire. Well, I don't know how much wood is in TVs anymore. Plastic and wires, and it's material energy, and it gets plugged in the wall by someone, and no doubt we're superior to the television. I mean, we're the ones who go and buy it and set it up, and as soon as we take the initiative to push the switch and the light comes on and the retina opens up and the light comes in, this intoxicating effect comes into the body and the brain, and then 7 years later, the person walks out, having been captured by the light of the television. It's called the plug drug. And people all over the world now can't live without it. Even in line at the supermarket, I see they have a television set up. At the bank, you have to have a television. Some in the cars, there's a television. So the living energy becomes captured. So, however, someone who comes to understand his constitutional position and relationship with the Supreme Personality of Godhead becomes fascinated and captivated by concentrating on the Supreme Lord and his superior form, name, pastimes. And this is the healthy condition of a living entity to be reconnected with Krishna. And the easiest method for doing that is through sound vibration, because Krishna is fully present in sound. Lord Vyasadeva, whose incarnation of the Lord is a literary incarnation, came to propagate this sound vibration to make sure that it was present everywhere. Anarto pasanam sakshad bhakti yoga madhoksaje lokasya ajanato vidvams chakre satvata samhitam. This verse from the Srimad Bhagavatam says that Srila Vyasadeva, understanding that souls are captivated by the external energy and are helpless, propagated the message of the Srimad Bhagavatam, specifically as the medicine which would cure the souls from the illusion of being separated from Krishna, and they could come to understand their connection with Krishna very directly. Welcome. Thank you very much for coming. Please come in and make yourself at home and comfortable. Hare Krishna. So this purport is a very wonderful purport where Prabhupada says all forms of incompleteness are due to incomplete knowledge of the complete. Would anybody like to discuss any of the points from this verse or purport? Yes. Yes.
A couple of things. That point you just said about all forms of incompleteness are due to incomplete knowledge of the complete. I was contemplating about how it is that one can be more tolerant than a tree. And some or other, some inspiration came that when one has complete knowledge, then it's kind of like the difference between the different substances. There's like a liquid, there's like gas, a liquid and a solid, right? So there's more space between the molecules in a gas than there are in a liquid than there are in a solid. So the particles are like particles of knowledge. And the more particles of knowledge that you have that between a given piece of space, the more solid one becomes. So that if your consciousness is solid, full of particles of spiritual transcendental knowledge, then when something comes and whacks at you, you're very solid. Nothing can disturb you. You don't get splashed around. You don't get blown away. And it's a very a safe place to be. So when that incompleteness, when that disturbance is felt, that's due to a space of consciousness which is filled with something other than transcendental knowledge. It's, you know, preoccupied with other things. And so that was one thing I was just kind of thinking about. And then I was looking at the purport when we were reading, and it was saying that the universe is going on. And
before you go into that point, can we discuss the one you just made, because it was such a nice point?
Sure.
Okay, can you hold the other one and don't lose it? Maybe we could just talk about this point for a second, because it's an excellent point. And that is that when we are whole, and that is when we're complete, then we're stable and we're not disturbed by the changes of the material energy. Another way of talking about this is that, for instance, a Brahmin is somebody who's situated in the sattva gun. Sattva means to be able to see things that exist, to see what exists and what doesn't exist. In other words, the quality of sattva gun is the quality by which we can actually see what exists and doesn't exist. Nasato vidite bhavo, nabhavo vidite sata, ubayorapi drishtantas tvanayos tattvadarshi bi. The Bhagavad Gita says that a tattvadarshi, someone who can see tattva, the truth, understands the difference between something that exists and something that doesn't exist. And that which doesn't exist is only transformational stage. It's passing through. It won't last. And that which exists always exists. For instance, the soul always exists. And Krishna expresses this in the second chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, where he tells Arjuna, you've got nothing to worry about when you're going to the battle, because the soul can't be killed. Achedyo yam, adhyahyo yam, akledyo shoshe evacha, nityak sarvakatastanur acholo yam sanatana. It's sanatana, it's eternal. It can't be cut, dried, withered, although the body can. So in the topic of humility and pridelessness, if one realizes that I am not the body, that I am the soul, that I exist, then there's nothing to make up for. In other words, there's nothing to prove. He exists. He knows he exists. He's confident in his eternal position. Whereas if I identify with the body, I'll feel all kinds of forms of incompleteness, right? Because the body itself, although it's a complete unit, which is emanated from the complete whole, is incompatible with the spirit in that it's constantly degrading. And if I think I'm the body, then I'll have to do many things to make up for the fact that the body is degrading and I'm not. For instance, what do I have to do to make up for it? Like, maybe make it pretty, like cosmetics or something. Or maybe I'll constantly being embellishing, trying to make myself more than I am, because the body can never be something which is complete and lasting. So someone who's on the platform of the spirit soul and identifies with the soul can be truthful and also can be humble, because they're not trying to embellish or make up for something that they're not. They're completely naturally situated in understanding that they're the soul.
like in order to do service, we pursue education so that we can have greater ability to perform activities which we may not otherwise have. So if there's any, I guess it would be like, even if you didn't have the education, you wouldn't really you wouldn't be disturbed. I guess it's the amount of disturbance that you experience in that realization that makes a difference, rather than like you don't try to achieve things.
Over endeavor.
Right, yeah. How do you tell the difference between regular endeavor and over endeavor?
Well, by understanding what your duty is, and that's based really on what your goal in life is and what guidance you're taking. And based on that, we discussed this verse, Kama sya nendriya pritir labo jivita yavata, jivasya tapa jignasya narto yascheha karmavi. Life's desire should never be directed towards sense gratification. One should desire to live a healthy life of self-preservation so that one can inquire about the absolute truth. So the degree to, if this is one's goal, which is shastric, then we take as much fortification that we need for the body to stay fit for doing our service. And if you need some kind of training and you're directed towards that, taking some kind of training because you have a talent in a certain area, then that's for your service. You know, Arjuna's particular talent was for archery. So did he take any training? Spent his whole youth training. And he used it in Krishna's service. So that's really the mission of human life, is everyone is born with some kind of proclivity, some kind of talent under the three modes of material nature, sattva, rajas, tamas, and mixtures of all those. And according to that, we engage in some kind of service, because engage you must. There's no question of just stopping engagement because you'll be impelled by the modes. Nahi kashchit shanamapi jatu tishchet karma krit karyate hivasa karma sarva prakriti jargunai. Everyone's being forced by their nature, by the three modes, to act in a certain way anyway. So that has to be engaged in Krishna's service, and when it is, then we have that complete connection and it's utilized properly. So what was your second point?
This page 14 at the bottom, it says that the 24 elements of which this material universe is a temporary manifestation are arranged to produce everything necessary for the maintenance and subsistence of this universe. No other unit in the universe need make an extraneous effort to try to maintain the universe. The universe functions on its own time scale, which is fixed by the energy of the complete whole. And when that schedule is completed, this temporary manifestation will be annihilated by the complete arrangement of the complete whole. So is this something that could be applicable towards the hoopla about, you know, everyone needs to recycle and change things so that we don't have a global warming and all that kind of stuff?
Yes, definitely. And those who live a more natural lifestyle, meaning closer to the earth, know that there's a cycle within nature and that things work out very nicely. I mean, there's certain kinds of living entities that coexist with other living entities. There's a kind of synergy. And, you know, certain kinds of bugs actually are beneficial to other kinds of plants. They all, you know, work together. There's a complete arrangement within nature. It does have to be, there's a little work involved. It's not that you just have a field. If you just let it go and you don't do anything, things grow. Every living entity has to do a little bit of work to scratch below the surface, sow some seeds. But the same rain, the same light, the same air, the same soil, the same seed, it's all there provided. We do have to do a little bit of endeavor, but just with a little endeavor. Thing is, with artificial living, we get into this endless cycle where we come further and further away from the natural arrangement Krishna's made, and we have to work harder and harder. And it's kind of ironical because we're making so many time-saving devices, and never before in history have we have less time to actually enjoy them. There's actually social indexes like the picnic index, which is a social index which tells how much time people have nowadays to be with friends, to be with family, to go on picnics. And it's going down, 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 because people have to work harder to maintain. And of course, the old story is with the sadhu who lives by the river, and he's living a very simple life. All he has is one set of cloth that he wears, and then he'll wash it and hang it up to dry when he swims, and then comes out, and it's a very simple life. It frees the mind. Then one day a mouse comes by and steals the cloth. And he thinks, oh, what should I do? So he goes to his neighbor, and his neighbor says, oh, you got to have a cat. Because, you know, the mouse is never going to go away. He'll keep stealing your cloth. And he thinks, oh, I got to get a cat. So he goes out and he gets a cat, and he brings the cat back. And then he's taking his bath, and the cat's meowing and meowing, meowing, and won't leave him alone, and he can't do his meditation. And then he goes to the neighbor and he says, the cat, you know, he's driven away the mouse, but he's given me a lot of problems now. He says, oh, you need a cow, because you got to get milk to the cat, because he'll, you know, he's got to be fed. So he gets a cow and he's feeding the cat. And then the cow, of course, requires some maintenance. You got to go in the same time scale as the cow. She has to be milked. She has to be milked at a certain time, and cows can really eat. I've seen them. As much as you'll feed them, they'll keep eating day and night. They have several stomachs, not just one. And so then the cow, the cat, and the mouse was gone. You need somebody to take care of. So he went to the neighbor and said, you know, well, you know what? You should get a wife, because, you know, she could take care of the cat and the cow, and then, you know, you can do your meditation. And then, so he goes, okay, I'll get a wife. And he got married, and then the wife said, you know, can we have a house? He said, where am I going to get a house? He said, well, you better get a job. So he gets a job, and on. So after a while, then he doesn't have time for his meditation anymore, because he's got a house and insurance of all different kinds. I didn't know there was fire insurance and earthquake insurance. And, of course, there's, you know, you got to get a plumber, and it goes on and on and on. Pumsastriya maituni bhavame tam tayomritu shridaya grantamahu atogriya kshetra sutapta vitar janasya moho yamahamameti. The entirety of this cycle of life is summed up by Lord Rishabhadeva to his 100 sons when he said, there's a way in which in this material world there's attraction between male and female, pumsastriya maituni bhavame tam. And when they come together, there's union, then they have to create a stable situation for the offspring. It means they have to get what's called a kshetra, or a field, to work in. And then all the accoutrements that go with that means house and everything to maintain the field. It used to be a field to work in. Now it means, you know, you have to get a job somewhere. Ato griyak shetra sutapta vitar. It means the field and everything else that goes with it. Very complicated. Janasya moho yamaha mameti. Then means one becomes entangled more and more in this idea that I belong to this material world and everything that I have is mine. And so on. And then this is the downward spiral into illusion and entanglement in the material world. So, simpler living, the tendency towards depending on Krishna and being closer to nature is something Prabhupada emphasized, and is emphasized in Shastra. In fact, in the very beginning of the Srimad Bhagavatam, Shukadeva Goswami points out to Maharaj Pariksit that for a simple human being, I mean, human body is the most complex and important form in the universe. Nrideham ajam sulabham sudulabham plavam sukalpam guru karnadaram. It's described to be like the most efficient and well-equipped boat that can actually cross over the material existence. And if one doesn't utilize it, then it's a real waste. I was going to say something else. What was my point? Yeah, simpler life. So Shukadeva Goswami, thank you. Thank you, everybody. Shukadeva Goswami was telling Maharaj Pariksit that he was posing these questions, that are there no rivers that can supply water? You can live by a river and, you know, the fresh water is there. I mean, unless there's Procter & Gamble is upstream or something like that, then you're in big trouble, which is the case nowadays. The Jamuna River coming down from Delhi is really polluted because big industry up there is allowed to just dump and dump and dump and dump and dump. And it's a tragedy. It's a travesty that the rivers are spoiled. This is the byproduct of artificial living. So are there no rivers? Are there no trees that give in charity? I mean, one tree can feed a whole village practically with so many fruits. And he said, are there no, you know, torn cloth lying in the road? For a simple self-realized person, that means he can find things to take care and cover himself and, you know, have some food to eat and so on and so forth. So, there's caves of mountains, he points out. There's places on the earth where you can find natural shelter. And instead of cots and beds, he said, you know, you can lay on the ground and you can use your hands for a pillow. And now you have to go to Sleep City or something like that. They have all these special stores in order to buy all kinds of mattresses and so on and so forth. We become accustomed to this kind of way of life. Just as in Vrindavan, a whole group of students from the Gurukul in Mayapur, very healthy, young, strong young men who came to visit Vrindavan, are going to school in Mayapur. And they came, and I saw that they it was still warm out in Vrindavan, and they came and stayed at Prem Kishore's house, and they had a balcony outside. And at nighttime, they just came, and they just lay down right on the ground and went to sleep. They're just used to it. It's just very, you know, robust and healthy, and they just lay down on the ground. Just put a gumsha on the ground, and that was it. They didn't eat anything, practically. Anyway, everyone has some sort of, you know, balance in life, so we can't artificially do these things, but the idea is to simplify. Yes. Can you pass her the mic?
I just have a point to make. Recently, there's a lot of allergies in kids, and the incidences have become really high. So apparently, there's a study right now which says that probably it's because of vitamin D deficiency. And that is because we're not exposed to the sun, and you have to be more out in the sun. And since, that's the reason you have to be out and be in nature and not like be, you know, always inside and go to the gym, and instead of that,
right,
go to the mountains.
My dad used to rail about that. He said, why don't just go and garden? Why do you have to go to the gym? Yeah, he'd get the same kind of thing. No, it's true. It creates all kinds of backlash when we live out of harmony with nature. You never see the sun. I mean, practically, Prabhupada talks about this in the Bhagavatam, just for our happiness. Aesthetically, we need things like, he says, you know, fresh flowers. Even modern-day doctors like Dr. Andrew Weil, he's sort of a cross between an allopathic doctor and a naturopath, and he preaches a lot about, you know, how to be healthier and stuff, and he has a lot of things he talks about how really human beings need to be around flowers. Like, you should have cut flowers in your house. I mean, I might not think of things like this, but actually it makes a difference in the human psyche. So fresh flowers and air and jewels and, you know, things that are aesthetically pleasing, they actually help us. Can you please give Hansapriya a glass of water too? Stay. Okay. So it's a natural thing, and Krishna consciousness means to be living closer to Krishna and in a more natural and a simpler way. And it's a very nice lifestyle. We're healthier and happier. Simpler. Yes, Rakshit Prabhu.
I was just reminded when you were describing the sequence where the sadhu has to get a cat and then a cow and then a wife. And then after the wife has been acquired, if you will, she says, what about the house? So one analogy which I guess you often cite as reminded about is, then there is that knot that gets tied. It's that knot in the heart. And that entanglement that is there is like that knot. One is getting caught up in this knot and the network. And so one has to work very hard then to maintain everything. In India, they often use this expression, if you're getting married, they might say, are you getting hooked now? And it is very appropriate, because that getting hooked is like getting tied up in this knot. Because do you know what you are getting into? You will get caught up in this knot, and you'll have to work very hard all your life to then carry out all the aspirations that the other party is going to demand on you.
Tie the knot. Yeah, and a Vedic wedding also, the three knots, the wife and the bridegroom, the priest will tie together the sari and the dhoti. They're supposed to not untie that for, I don't know, 10 days or something like that. I don't know many people who actually keep it tied that long, but yes?
This is the nature of this predicament we're in when we seek, to rectify our material inconveniences through material solutions. It never solves the problem, it only complicates it. So, like at the end of the story, then they have children, and then education, and then everything, and then, finally, he retires and goes back to his prayers. So, it's said that, all the different ashrams are equal. So whether you're a renounced order or whether you're married and have all of these kind of things, if you worship Krishna, then somehow or other those miseries are mitigated in some way. But I'm just wondering how it is that you can go through that whole system without, I guess all of the burden is still there. It's just that when you take it on, it has a different flavor because it's connected with Krishna. Is that how it works?
Yeah, sure. You want me to comment on that?
Please.
Yes. Actually, first of all, I would say that it's natural for everyone to go through different stages of life, and therefore to think that artificially one should be renounced is just that. It's artificial. Because everyone has a certain need, psychophysiological nature, and a way of that we need a certain kind of balance in life. And therefore, there are many different situations from which one can become Krishna conscious. And yes, practically speaking, they're all equal. Because the common element is the connection with Krishna. And so, in some respects, especially in this day and age, most commonly people are, there's a lot of endeavor and there's a lot of requirement to be connected to the material energy. And so, for instance, from this, what we're talking about, getting married and having a house and these types of things, practically if we live in this society, in this world, those things are requirements. And from that station, from that position in life, there's no bar whatsoever for becoming fully Krishna conscious. And in fact, in some ways, because there's the added experience that one has of the harsh nature of trying to survive in that situation, along with cultivating Krishna consciousness, there can be a certain kind of strength in that. Vidyam cha vidyam chayas tad vedo bayam saha avidyayam ratum tirdva vidyayam ratum ashnute. Only one who can learn the process of nescience and that of transcendental knowledge side by side can transcend the influence of repeated birth and death and enjoy the full blessings of immortality. One can just as easily prosecute Krishna consciousness within a home as one can within the forest, as a renunciate might. Although I don't see many renunciates living in the forest these days. It's pretty rare. There's not many forests left anyway. Grihe tako, bani tako, sada hari bole tako. Yes?
It's really, my my understanding from Ashtavakra and also from Gita, etc., is the renunciation is really not to the act or the deed, but it is only to the attachment to the outcome. So it's really the renunciation is only to the attachment and not really to anything else.
Yes, that's true. One can perform all kinds of activities. For instance, in the Bhagavad Gita, of course, Arjuna is a warrior. And he's asking this question in the beginning of the third chapter of the Bhagavad Gita. Krishna, how is it you want me to engage in ghastly warfare if you think that, you know, renunciation is a better idea? And then Krishna points out to him, no, you can renounce while doing your duty. Don't be attached to the fruits of the result of doing that. So it doesn't, in other words, Prabhupada points out that once he saw in the train station in Howrah, he saw a homeless person who had some luggage that he had picked up somewhere. It was half burned, and he had a few possessions. And he noted, you know, from some brief interaction with him that he was very much attached to the possessions that he had. And then, of course, you know, he has very few things, but he might be very much attached to them. And somebody else might live in a huge palace or a mansion. But as Prabhupada used to bring forth the example of Maharaj Ambarish, he was a very opulent king, but he utilized everything at every second in Krishna's service. And therefore, he was a great renunciate. He's brought forth as an example of one of the great renunciates in Krishna consciousness. So this is called Yukta Vairagya. And this means Anasaktasya Vishayan Yataham Upayunjita Nirbande Krishna Sambande Yuktam Vairagyamuchate. That if we don't utilize things that can be utilized in Krishna's service, this is called false renunciation, or also Faugu Vairagya. That there are many items that can be used in Krishna's service, and if we renounce those and say, well, I don't touch that, then it's not complete renunciation. So, anyway, to answer your question, there's no hindrance in being in the household or ashram, to be married, to have children, to have a house, to have all the kinds of things that you need to live in today's world, as long as you continue the connection to Krishna consciousness. This was what Lord Chaitanya taught to everyone. He especially approved of a verse from the Srimad Bhagavatam that was spoken by Lord Brahma. Jnane prayasam udapasya namanta eva jivanti san mukharitam bhavadiya vartam stane stita shutigatam tanuvan manobir ye prayaso jita jito pyasi taistar lokam. And the verse means that simply we should give up the endeavor to understand God by our intellect, and we should associate with pure devotees and submissively hear about Krishna from the Shastra and from the devotees. From that, stane stita shrutigatam tanuvan manobir. In fact, he says, stay in your position, stane stita. Don't try to artificially move from one position to another externally, because you can't anyway, and it won't help. So if you stay in your position, but you hear about Krishna, then that will have such a profound effect that you will be able to come to the position of, as this verse says, you'll be able to conquer the unconquerable. Krishna is known as Ajita. He can't be conquered by anyone. But he's conquered by such a person who dedicates him or herself to hearing about him. And therefore, Krishna becomes submissive to such a person and reveals himself. So from whatever situation we are, we can make advancement. We just have to add Krishna consciousness. An example is making yogurt. When you make yogurt, you start off with a pot of milk. And that pot of milk needs to have a little bit of culture introduced to it from a yogurt culture. How much? A little bit. A little dab will do you. So if you have that milk and you put a little bit of yogurt culture it and put it in the right environment, a little bit warm, and just leave it overnight, the whole pot turns to yogurt. So same thing with our life. It's like a big pot of milk. And if we add Krishna consciousness to it, it's so powerful, the vibration of Krishna consciousness and the association of devotees, hearing Srimad Bhagavatam, associating with devotees, worshiping the deity, living in the holy dhamma, or a place where Krishna lives, like a temple, or, you know, being in that orbit, and chanting Hare Krishna. These five, especially, out of the 64 items of devotional service. If you add even a little bit of those to your life, no matter what your situation or station, your whole life will gradually turn to Krishna consciousness. Now, the only part of that analogy is that the environment is also important. As you put the milk in a freezing place, the culture might not take very quickly, or if it's too hot. So a balanced environment is helpful also. So if we're in a situation that becomes hellish, or, you know, we have association of people who are insufferable and who are sabotaging our Krishna consciousness, then there may be we might think about making an adjustment to, so that we can, you know, continue with our Krishna consciousness. Was that all right? Okay.